Hi, welcome to Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break on WCRS 98.3 102.1 LPFM Columbus. This is your radio station. And here's now our Fair Trade News Break. This article comes to us from the Citizens Trade Campaign. Also known as the CTC, the Citizens Trade Campaign is a nonpartisan national coalition of environmental, family farm, faith, and labor groups working for trade policy that reflects the interests of a majority of people. The National Democratic Party picks sides on trade debate. Faith, farm, labor, and environmental groups applaud debut of fair trade language into platform. This is from Washington, D.C. After more than a decade of division with the National Democratic Party on the issue of free trade, the organization codified a clear position for the first time in their platform going to the Denver Convention next week. Quote, "This language is nothing less than groundbreaking," said Andy Gussert, National Director of Citizens Trade Campaign. Quote, "For the first time, a presidential platform publicly and formally commits to amending past trade deals, ending more NAFTA-style agreements, and reforming institutions like the G8 and World Trade Organization," end quote. The final 2008 platform draft includes more than 3,000 words across 24 separate pages that addresses trade and globalization issues. NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, was first negotiated by President George Bush, but Democrat Bill Clinton made its passage a priority in 1993. Since then, Democrats have often split on the issue of so-called free trade and have increasingly moved away from supporting the NAFTA model in favor of reform. Quote, "This platform gives a clear indication for the first time where the Democratic Party is on fair trade," end quote, added Gussert, and, quote, "they want more of it." Quote again, "It's important to see a movement away from failed trade models of the past," end quote, said Mark Levinson, chief economist of the labor union Unite Here. Quote, "The Obama agenda describes trade as a positive international tool for bringing about enforceable labor and environmental standards, human rights, poverty alleviation, and climate control. This is a major step forward," end quote. Members of the farming community are also supportive. Quote, "They've hit on several of the most unfair trade practices, including currency manipulation, tax consumer standards, and violations of environmental standards," added Tom Buse, president of the National Farmers Union. Quote, "More importantly, they've promised to stand firm against future agreements that fail to live up to these benchmarks. This will allow American farmers to better compete on a more level playing field," end quote. State chapters of the Citizens Trade Campaign worked throughout the primary season to bird-dog the presidential candidates and seek commitments in trade and globalization issues, securing pledges from members of both parties. Most of the strongest commitments made by Senator Obama in response to written questionnaires ended up codified in the national platform language. The platform outlines that no future bilateral trade agreements, quote, will stop the government from protecting the environment, food safety, or the health of its citizens, give greater rights to foreign investors than to U.S. investors, require the privatization of our vital public services, or prevent developing country governments from adopting humanitarian licensing policies to improve access to life-saving medications, end quote. The platform also adds that trade deals, quote, must not come as blank checks, end quote, and American support will only be, quote, coupled with an insistent call for reform, end quote. The platform includes welcome statements about trade helping to alleviate poverty in the developing world, said Martin Shupak of Church World Service. Quote, "But to do that, the U.S. will have to fully respect the right of developing countries to safeguard and nurture their own domestic economies and to promote and protect their own smallholder farmers, urban workers, and domestic manufacturers," end quote. Quote, "The language outlines a vision of trade that will serve the needs of the many instead of just a few," noted Sister Catherine Pinkerton, CSG and network staff member. Quote, agreements should act as a tool to alleviate poverty and increase human rights across the world. Trade can be an instrument of development for both ourselves and our trading partners, end quote. No past state or federal platform from either party has covered the trade issue so in depth. Quote, in the past, we were lucky to have trade mentioned and settled for half a loaf, end quote, added Gussert. It's nice when you get 9 out of 10 slices. Specific trade excerpts from the 2008 platform draft can be found at www.citizenstrade.org. And if you have any other questions about Citizens Trade campaign, feel free to visit their website at www.citizenstrade.org.
Sira mana mana la sofena ke annuncirà tu non mi era sino ma che annuncirà per una carella che si fa che alla dia namo o che la molle per tu ma me io ne la vida me le canina tu ma me a canu ma tocca non barano a canu o to si la canu barabi a canu será que no barano a canu o fo basi canu nalino anuncirá maravadala si no maque anuncirá tu no viene si maque anuncirá por la carrera sobre maque a la día namo o que la mole tu mamena y yo ya la vida me la canina tu barano y
mila mila y bata menta y mila mila.
That was our world music for Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break. That was brought to you by Salif Keita. The name of that song was Koku. Salif Keita was born on August 25th, 1949, and he's an internationally recognized Afro-pop singer-songwriter from Mali. Salif Keita is unique not only because of his reputation as the golden voice of Africa, but because he has albinism and is a direct descendant of the founder of the Mali Empire, Sundiata Keita. This royal heritage meant that under the Malian caste system, he should never have become a singer, which was deemed to be a griot's role. Keita was born in the city of Djobila. He was outcast by his family and ostracized by the community because of his albinism, a sign of very bad luck in Mandinka culture. He left Djobila for Bamako in 1967, where he joined the government-sponsored super rail band De Bamako. In 1973, Keita joined the group Les Ambassadeurs. Keita and Les Ambassadeurs fled political unrest in Mali during the mid-1970s and subsequently changed the group's names to Les Ambassadeurs Internationales. The reputation of Les Ambassadeurs Internationales rose to international level in the 1970s and in 1977, Keita received a National Order Award from the President of Guinea. Keita moved to Paris in 1984 to reach a larger audience. His music combines traditional West African music styles with influence from both Europe and the Americas while maintaining an overall Islamic style. Musical instruments that are commonly featured in Keita's work include balafones, djembes, guitars, koras, organs, saxophones, and synthesizers. Keita found success in Europe as one of the African stars of world music, but his work was sometimes criticized for the gloss of its production and for the occasional haphazard quality. However, shortly after the turn of the millennium, he returned to Bamako and Mali to live and record. His first work after going home, 2002's Mofu, was hailed as his best album in many years, and Keita was inspired to build a recording studio in Bamako where he used for his latest album, Man Bimba, which was released in October 2005. Once again, thanks for listening to Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break on WCRS 98.3 102.1. We've come to our part of the program, which is our producer spotlight, where we highlight a producer that is doing good in the world by selling fair trade goods or anything else that is empowering and bettering our world. Today's focus is on the Women's Bean Project. The Women's Bean Project is actually based out of Colorado in America. Which is unusual because everything else that we deal with fair trade comes from developing countries. outside the U.S., but the Women's Bean Project is a nonprofit who is empowering women and helping women who otherwise would not be able to feed their families and most likely are homeless and having other life issues. So to tell you a little bit more about the Women's Bean Project, I recommend looking at their website, which is www.womensbeanproject.com, and where we got some of our information that I'm about to share with you. The Women's Bean Project has been operating since 1989, and they are dedicated to helping women break the cycle of poverty and unemployment. Their mission is to teach through employment and on-site businesses workplace competencies for entry-level positions to women who come from backgrounds of chronic unemployment or poverty. Their vision is Women's Bean Project strives to break the cycle of chronic unemployment and poverty by helping women discover their talents and develop skills by offering job readiness training opportunities. With the stepping stone towards success, the women will be able to support themselves and their families and create stronger role models for future generations. Jossie Airy founded the Women's Bean Project in 1989 as a result of her volunteer work at a day shelter for homeless women. Airy saw that while the shelter kept women safe, it could not help them make lasting changes in their lives. Airy bought $500 worth of beans and put two homeless women to work, the first step in building the social enterprise they are today. Their training opportunities have expanded dramatically over the years, and annual operating budget has grown from $6,000 to $1.5 million. In 1993, King Scoopers became the first grocery store to carry their products. In 1995, they purchased former fire station number 10 from the city and county of Denver, Colorado, and moved to their home the following year, giving them permanent roots at 3201 Curtis Street. Today, their product offerings have expanded to salsa mixes, spice rubs, coffee beans, and jelly beans, in addition to soups and chili, along with gift baskets, baking mixes, and much more. The women hired at the Bean Project have histories of poverty and unemployment. They lack hope, self-confidence. Most do not have a GED or high school diploma. Most are single moms and have been on public assistance. Many are recovering from experiences with substance abuse and incarceration. Women find the Bean Project many different ways, but are most often referred by graduates and current program participants. Parole officers, shelters, and other service agencies all refer women to the Bean Project. The Women's Bean Project is a social enterprise that offers a transitional job in gourmet food manufacturing designed to provide immediate income, arrange support services to overcome barriers to employment, and teach job readiness skills needed to get and keep a job. Program participants come from backgrounds of chronic unemployment and poverty, and the program helps them develop the work and interpersonal skills needed to function independently in the workplace and community. But the Women's Bean Project does not hire women to make and sell bean products. They make and sell bean products to hire women. Women produce the goods that are sold nationwide as they develop the work and interpersonal skills needed to function independently and effectively in the workplace and community. The Women's Bean Project meets basic needs and removes barriers to employment by paying a wage and facilitating support services. They offer life skills that enhance a woman's ability to govern her own life. They arrange services that increase employability, such as a GED and computer classes. And they provide hands-on training in the fundamental job readiness skills required by entry-level employers. And this is why they do it. The tools gained during their stay at the Bean Project empower women to create better lives for themselves, provide their families with hope, and continue to make a stronger community. And this is a short piece put together by the Women's Bean Project to talk a little bit more in depth about what they do, how they do it, and why they do it.
I started making some wrong choices in my life, and it's when I got involved with drugs and alcohol.
I started drinking when I was 9 years old. I was an alcoholic almost immediately.
By the time a woman comes to the Bean Project, she's usually at the end of the line. There really aren't a lot of other options for her.
I decided I would sell the drug because I could be able to keep my habit. It took a lot of time away from my kids.
I remember my mom not being around that much, and
it's okay, go ahead.
She wasn't there as much as we needed her to be there for us.
My daughter was born in prison. My family was done. They didn't want anything to do with me. My work history was just horrible. I couldn't stay anywhere for more than 9 months. Manipulating was something that was a survival technique for me.
Women's Bean Project employs women who've been chronically unemployed and impoverished. We employ them in our food manufacturing business, and while they're there, we teach them not just job skills, but life skills, so that they can go on to permanent employment and hopefully self-sufficiency.
They didn't look at me like you get looked at some places. They welcomed me.
They figured out how to make me a productive person. They not only tolerate my me being a single mother and having to raise my daughter, not only tolerate the treatment facility that I'm in, but they pay me to go on interviews.
There are three areas that we address when a woman is employed. First of all, it's what we call basic job readiness skills. The second area is basic needs. If someone doesn't have a place to go home every night, it's hard to expect her to come to work every day. And then the third area is life skills. Things like problem solving and goal setting. Those are all things that many of us take for granted, having learned as we've grown up. So they're really learning those skills for the first time when they come to us. We have about 24 different products. We make those into gift baskets. We sell our product in 40 states today. We also sell on Amazon.com and Overstock.com. So we've grown so tremendously, and all of that has led us to be able to consistently employ more women.
The products really are a symbol of what the women are going through. You know, you look at a little bean and you say, well, you know, it's really nothing, but you know, you put it in soup or you put it in some other kind of meal, and it becomes nourishment. It becomes important.
I did get into the Women's Bean Project and graduated their program. Then I would mentor the women coming in and how they could make it just like I was making it. And then eventually they gave me a position, so then I got on as staff there as a program assistant.
I'm proud of my mom. She's just a way better mom, and I see her more.
There's so many women out there trying to get in our program.
To have to turn away a woman knowing that there aren't a lot of other choices for her is heartbreaking to me.
Buying the beans means a lot. It's not just buying a pack of beans, but what you're doing is you're contributing to someone maybe getting a GED, someone that's now getting a driver's license for the first time, and they're 40 years old.
I dream of a day when we don't turn away a single woman who comes to us, that 50 women at a time can be employed at the Bean Project, and there's plenty of work because we have so much sales to support. To see women being literally transformed, it's magical.
Just didn't know that that was possible. I didn't know that there was a different type of lifestyle out there. God, I have a bright future. I really do.
And you're just listening to a segment from the Women's Bean Project. And they're based out of Denver, Colorado. If you'd like more information on the Women's Bean Project, feel free to visit their website at www.womensbeanproject.com. And thanks again for listening to Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break. Betty's Fair Trade Coffee Break is brought to you by Simply Living and Global Gallery. Global Gallery has many locations in Columbus, Ohio. We are located on High Street in the Short North at 692 North High Street. We're also in German Village at 188 East Whittier. We're in the Easton Town Center Mall right in the mall on the first floor. And we are also in Yellow Springs on Xenia Avenue. Thanks again for listening and have a super fantastic fair trade day.